Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Freestyle Tuesday, and I am Glenda Geek for one of the last times from Lexington, Kentucky.
Oh my gosh, that's kind of sad. I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 27th, 2012, episode 367. Good morning, Horse World.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
Only somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
You gotta learn that your time in the saddle ain't as rough as the life in between. And the fence isn't there for you to straddle. And you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
So just a moment ago, I was, unfortunately, I just lost a battle right as this show was starting. My cat is absolutely driving me crazy this morning. This cat, who is like the laziest thing ever, sleeps. For some reason, at about 5 till the beginning of the show, he decides that that is playtime. Like, I'm going to get your microphone cord, I'm going to reach up and make biscuits on your leg, and then use my claws and dig them into your thigh, and it'll be really fun to hear you scream. Well, just a moment ago, he was sitting next to me, and he was looking at me. And I turned, and I looked down at him, and I got about 5 inches from his face. And it was a staring contest. And it was literally a minute long. Like, it just kept going. I was staring at him, he was staring at me. I was staring at him, he was staring at me. And then I hear, I'm Glenda Geek from Lexington. I'm like, son of a gun, he wins. He just won the steering contest.
Well, you know, I think, too, cats know because, ours, the beast, has been kind of friendly when we thought we were going to have to give up the beast when we made our move the end of this week. We thought, you know, he was getting kind of friendly. And then after we decided we can take him along. He's been a pain in the butt ever since then. God.
You know what the difference is, Glenn? He's not been going on his little car rides around town.
That's it. He's going to be on a big car ride on Friday, 12 hours. We'll see how he likes that.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are insane. By the way, if you would like to have company for him, I hear Frank would really love to relocate to Florida. You can have two. I don't know how people have more than one cat. I have one cat, and he wears me out throughout the day. He is the cat that sits on the roof. You know, I make him go outside. I make him go outside. I pick him up, and I put his butt outside the door, and then I close it real quick behind him. And we have, like, a little outside patio, some chairs sitting out there, and it's so beautiful this time of year in Phoenix. I just love to sit out on the patio. Well, my cat goes straight to the roof when he goes outside. He still does. He loves to sit on top of the roof and, like, survey the premises.
He's like nothing. He's like that movie, the Disney movie with the lion, Simba. He's up there, you know, just looking over his territory.
Exactly. However, when Chad and I go outside and we, like, take our lunch out and we decide to sit on the porch, sit on the patio and sit at our nice little table outside and just stare at the pastures and, you know, have some food or have a glass of wine, this is what we hear continuously as we do. You look up and there's a little white face with blue eyes looking over the edge of the roof going, meow, 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 meow. You're like, shut up. God, why moment of sitting outside of meow. Like, I don't know what you want. You have everything. You need nothing. Meow. So I don't know how people, you people that have more than one cat, much less, like, you know, you crazy cat people with, like, you know, 20. I don't know how you live.
I don't know. I couldn't do it either. One's enough for me. And speaking of meowing, Jennifer's going to have to take the cat in the car with her. I'll be driving the truck. So she's going to have the cat in the cat carrier. And we've taken the cat on practice runs at this point. And she, you know, he doesn't scream at the top of his lungs. He just the whole time he's meowing quietly. So it's kind of enough just to be annoying. And I said, are you sure we don't want to tranquilize this cat? And she does not want to tranquilize the cat. I said, okay, you're riding with the cat. I'm not riding with the cat. You can ride with the cat.
Yeah. He's just complaining. He's just sitting there complaining. And I can put up with a lot of that, Glenn.
That's when you blast your tunes, you know, and it's like you don't listen to talk radio, then that happens. You turn on whatever pop station or country station you can find and sing it at the top of your lungs.
All right, Jennifer, what's coming up?
On today's Freestyle Tuesday instead of Friday, we gallop gleefully into the Big Move South with Peter Atkins, who is here to bring us an update on Henny's latest adventures. And the velvety voice of Horse and Country TV, Victoria Spicer, is here with this week's Entertainment for Equestrians selections.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Are we also having Mike Arnold come on, too?
Yes, Mike should be here this morning. He is going to be giving us a recap of the Live Oak International that we talked about last week that happened over the weekend, a big driving event in Ocala. So he's going to give us a quick update of that, and we'll find out how his son did, who's the champion driver. So we're going to find out how his son did also. So that's coming up here shortly as well. But we have some fun stuff to do before then. And the first thing is your Daily Winnie.
I cannot believe you guys are leaving. Like, this is real now. This is our last show before I wake up and you guys are in Florida.
That's true. It's our last show before we wake up and we're in Florida.
You know what? If only you were going west, you would so quickly delay the time of this show. So you guys get my first Daily Winnie, by the way. We're going to do a show at noon. Sold. I'll take a pay cut to not have to get up at 4:30. All right. Anyway.
You only have six more months of this to go, and then I'll be back to the other time again.
No. I do believe that it was 8 months of this time and 4 months of the other.
Oh,
check
okay,
it out.
I got it wrong.
Trust me. So anyway, my first of two Daily Winnies goes to you guys. I'm so proud of you guys for getting up and just moving the company and just going to Florida because you were done with the winter and you want to go down there and hang out with family. You're going to be closer. So anyway, good for y'all. That takes a lot of courage and, you know, it's scary. So congrats to you guys for doing it.
Ah, we're excited. It's going to be fun. We're excited about it. Jennifer's really excited to have the horse in the backyard.
I know.
Sally Moving Vans is going to be moving our horse here very shortly. If anybody that's been in Lexington, you'll see the Sally Vans all over town. I mean, you can't drive anywhere in this town without seeing about 12 Sally Vans. And Sally's going to be hauling Beaker down there. So we got to get our fence up first. So we're going to be doing a fencing project. And actually, we thought we'd kind of make that educational, too. We have never in 2,000 episodes talked about fencing on any of our shows, and it's something that every horse owner has to deal with. So we're going to be doing a little educational series on fencing as we put up our fencing in Florida. So that'll be coming up, too, when we come back.
The
so.
Subtitle really... is Don't Repeat Our Mistakes.
Yeah, we'll tell you everything not to do.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome because you know how the past, you know, almost 2 years, I have been spilling my guts about having horses in my backyard and all the nightmares and pitfalls. It's your turn. Ha ha.
All right, sit
back and take a break. Daily Winnie number two. Give it to me.
All right.
You know, I got to give it to Royal Delta. Royal Delta, American champion Royal Delta, and multiple grade one winner Game On Dude are both going to try to win the Dubai World Cup representing the United States. Both of them are going to be running in Dubai this weekend. I have to talk about the Dubai Cup now, on Tuesday. because you guys are, we're not here for the rest of the week. So I want, you know, Royal Delta, I love her. She's a filly. How awesome would that be to have a fourth horse of the year that is a filly? And to follow with Rachel Alexander and Zenyatta and have her to grace, it's Royal Delta's year. It is girl power. She's going to win this weekend. Now, if you recall, I'll give you a little backstory. Royal Delta is the one who won the Breeders' Cup, and she was owned by an estate, okay, an estate who, after the Breeders' Cup, they sold all the horses in this guy's estate. And Bill Mott was the trainer of Royal Delta and also was the trainer of three other horses that were in the Breeders' Cup this past year. And after the Breeders' Cup, like, one was sold, two went to another place, and then one retired. It was just crazy. And he lost all of his big horses in training. The person that bought Royal Delta is very good friends with Todd Pletcher. So it was like a no-brainer. He's going to send Royal Delta to Todd Pletcher. Well, he didn't. He ended up keeping her with Bill Mott, a big, huge named horse, stays with Bill Mott. He was so excited, and they have been kicking butt ever since. So Royal Delta and Bill Mott over in Dubai, it's such a great story, and they are going, so she's 4 years old this year, and they are going to try to win the Dubai World Cup. So my daily winnie goes out to Royal Delta. I love you, Game One Dude. I love some of the other horses that are out there, but my gosh, I got to give it to her. Good luck. Hopefully on next week we'll be talking about how awesome she did.
Well, the Game On Dude is definitely a runner there, and we'll tell you a little bit about what happened to Bob Baffert later in the show.
He had
some excitement over there. Not such good excitement either, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But first, I have a couple of daily winnies, too. My first daily winnie goes to our listener, Ann Marbardi, who posted on our Facebook page yesterday, "Love your show and always listen traveling to and from work. I nearly had to pull over driving home yesterday after listening to Jamie's story of adventure at Three Day Ranch. I was laughing so hard. The driver in the car next to me must have thought I was mad." So, we had a lot of comments about that story, about you telling about your adventure at Three Day Ranch, and we had several people emailed also about the cat locking my car door story too. So we had a funny week last week, I guess. But thank you, Anne, for posting that on our Facebook page. I have one other one too. And for those of you that are getting annoyed with the daily Winnie music every day, you'll have a couple days off. So that my next daily Winnie goes to Charlotte and Jonathan. Do you remember a couple years ago, Jamie, when Britain's Got Talent, when Susan Boyle walked out on stage for the first time and she was not an attractive woman and, you know, Simon was making disparaging comments and then she sang and it blew the whole world away. And now she's number one on multiple charts in England and all over Europe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I think it happened again. I have a little audio I want to play for you. This is Charlotte and Jonathan. Let me just set this up a little bit. Jonathan is a very heavy guy, and he is 17 years old, and he's a heavy kid. He's not attractive in any way, shape, or form, and his friend Charlotte is a beautiful girl who's 16 years old, and they came out together to sing a duet. Charlotte is sort of Jonathan's keeper and protector. Charlotte takes care of Jonathan. He's very shy, and he's very unassuming, and, you know, you look at him, and, you know, he's just one of those kids that gets picked on endlessly at school. So that sets the stage a little bit. They walk out, and the first comment Simon makes to whoever the other judge sitting beside him was, "Here we go," and something like, "Here we go again. I was hoping for a good one." So, you know, a very disparaging comment. And
he's such a
jerk.
I hate that guy.
I know. And, you know, I'm enjoying not having him, actually, on
American
the American
Idol.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Well, they came out and they proved Simon wrong with this. Sit back and take a listen. 16 and 17 years old.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
He's the next Pavarotti. I mean, he was unbelievable. She was good, too. The problem was the music was a little loud and drowned him out a little bit. But she was terrific, too. And if you you have to watch the video and see what the judges' comments were. This whole place was standing up. Simon stood up and clapped and cheered. I've never seen him cheer so loud. And I'm sure that, you know, the whole franchise over there, Britain's Got Talent's going, ooh, we're going to make another bazillion dollars.
Cha-ching!
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm reading what, you know, you just, this is why, okay, not to be whatever, but this is why I love The Voice. Because you can't make a judgment on the way people look. And the way when this guy walks out, Jonathan and Charlotte walk out, Simon says, just when you thought it couldn't get any worse.
Worse, right, exactly.
That's like, and you are such a pretentious a-hole. Sorry.
Yeah, he is. And there's no question about that. And at the end, I got to give Jonathan credit because at the end, he said, all the judges loved them both, and she has a beautiful voice, too. She's more of a pop singer. He's more of the, you know, the opera singer kind of guy. But, you know, then Simon says, well, you know, you'll do much better without her in this competition. You should drop her. He actually says that. And this poor girl, 16 years old, looks devastated, and Jonathan says, we came in this together. We're going to stay as a pair.
Aww.
And that was it. And he said, that's it. We're staying as a pair. I'm not going to do it without you. So, good for him.
Oh, you're giving goosebumps just saying that.
I know. It was,
love him, and hate Simon.
But what a voice. Oh, my God, you're going to be hearing from him again. Before we get to our Mike Arnold, we'll get to him in just a second. And then after Mike, we have a little poem that Jamie's going to read for us that we found on Horse Nation that I thought was kind of fun.
Well,
she's going to
do it. Let's just tell people that we want to bring a little bit of class and dignity and, you know, educate the listeners about this beautiful thing called poetry. And I feel like it is our job to educate the listeners and to give them a little bit of respect for the arts. So that's what we're going to do.
Okay, well, you know what? We'll do that at the end of Mike's interview. We'll keep Mike on because he also does dressage. In driving. So maybe Mike would appreciate this too. But let's get Mike on first. And Mike Arnold of drivingnews.us, and he's going to tell us a little bit about what happened over the weekend at Live Oak International. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
I'm so glad you could come on and give us a recap. How'd it go? Was it fun? What happened?
It was a great event. You weren't there. Oh, that's right. That's right. I was going to speak about moving.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Take the knife in, Mike.
Absolutely. No, it was a beautiful event. You know, it was pretty neat. The jumpers were there with their CSI 2-star, and they're a little different from us, but it was a lot of fun having them out there. We saw part of that show, too, so it was good. It was good.
How'd your son do?
Well, Jamie, have you ever had a horse rear up at X at the Salute? Well, maybe not. Well, he did.
What did he do? Wait a minute.
I couldn't understand you. Would say that again?
For the first time, Jacob's horse reared up at the halt at X for the Salute.
Oh.
So it got off to a really good start in dressage.
He was saluting too.
He did. And it actually got a little bit better than that from there on, but so not such a good dressage score, and he ended up fourth overall, but that was great. He had a great marathon. He made made progress with the horse. This is only his second show with this horse, so he won the first one and fourth in this one, so they're getting to know each other, and
that's not bad at all. Oh my God, this is a big show.
It was a big show. There were 14 or 15 single horses. Leslie Burndle won. She has a magnificent horse. And Sterling Graber came in second. He too, just an incredible horse. Sarah Schmidt snuck up with a double clear round in Cones to capture third, and Nifty Hamilton fifth, and Donna Crookston sixth, and then the rest of them. So that was really nice. Chester also, he won the team four in hand championship, national championship, beating Casey Zubek, but there was only one other entry.
Yeah, there were only two four in hand teams there. What do you think that was?
I think some of the other teams that are in play this year are just waiting to come out. We understand they may come out at Southern Pines, which is just in a couple of weekends.
Okay. So they're just holding off a little bit.
Weather was beautiful, not too hot, which I assume will correct itself next week or this week when you as you arrive. And
I love this guy.
But we have but it was just I mean, just couldn't be prettier. Just couldn't be.
I heard that Wendy had to do the co-host of the Driving Radio Show. She had to do a class. She was at class somewhere in Ocala, but I heard she made it to the parties. I heard the parties were good in the evening.
Yes, they were.
Are you recovering?
He doesn't know. He doesn't remember. I guess they were good.
Yeah, the picture show, they went pretty well.
And they do fundraisers there, and I know they had the car show there again, and, you know, they do all kinds of fun stuff there. So I'm glad it went well, and I'm looking forward to coming to it next year.
Well, as you said last year, let's see. But, yeah.
Mike's busting my chops today. Who invited him?
Yeah, that's great.
Now, you're going up to Southern Pines. That's next stop in a couple weeks.
It is, and that's relatively close. It's only about an hour away for us, so hallelujah. And hopefully, and that's actually the single horse national championship. So we'll be competing for the single horse national championship.
So that's the one your son really wants to win that day.
He and a bunch of other people.
All right, Mike. Well, thank you so much for stopping by again. Again, if you want to learn about driving or keep up on what's going on in the driving world, drivingnews.us is the place to do it. We appreciate you being on, Mike, and I'll see you in Florida.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yeah,
thanks,
right.
Mike.
Don't hold your breath.
See you, Mike.
Okay.
Oh,
bye-bye.
Mike, hold on. Well, hold on. You, dressage. You love dressage as much as anybody. We have a little poem, a classy poem, that Jamie's going to read to us in her best 13-year-old voice, because this was written by a 13-year-old, wasn't it, Jamie?
Yes, it was actually written by Leslie Wiley, who comes on our show on Mondays at the age of 13. So as an eventer, we develop early hatred of dressage, apparently. It's bred into us. That's why they make us do it, because, you know, I tell Chad, that my husband, I'm like, yes, we have to do dressage so we can do cross country. Like, that's kind of how it works. So this was written by Leslie at age 13, and I hope she doesn't sue us for copyright infringement. The title of this fantastic, beautiful poem is called Dressage Blows. Dressage Blows, Leslie Wiley, age 13. I entered at A, determined per se, to perfect my shoulder in. But my horse, he pranced, in my mind it danced, but the fences held us in. Such a beautiful day, I could gallop away, such a longing to be free. My instructor would scold, to practice I was told, though incessant it may be. My canteric C was extended by E, and my patience, it could not wait. On a day so fine, I haven't the time. We simply jumped the gate. We jumped anything we came to. Like the wind, together we flew. So happy, I could sing. No worries about collection. I'm not looking for perfection. I left my troubles in the ring. Yeah!
Yay.
Peace out, sister. Let's go. We're classy, and we bring you art here on the show, Mike. Okay, it's art.
Jacob tried to do that in his test over the weekend.
Absolutely. I think I'll have to play this back for him.
Thanks, Mike.
You, Jacob.
We'll
very good. You. Thank y'all.
That was very well read, Jamie. Very well read.
Well, it's art and beauty, and I didn't want to screw it up. Hey, I got breaking news. Are you ready for some breaking news?
Yeah.
I guess it's breaking. I just read it. Rachel Alexandra the 2009 Horse of the Year, who the aforementioned in the show, Rachel Alexandra, was just declared in full to Zenyatta's baby daddy, Bernardini. That's pretty exciting. Confirmed in full. Now, the funny thing is nobody knew she was actually getting bred. They've been keeping this very, very quiet. The posting was on apparently the Stoner Street Farm owner tweeted about Rachel Alexandra being in full. How funny is that? How the times have changed. Horses.
How we learned stuff.
God, I gotta get better at Twitter.
Well, how about on racing? How about Bob Baffert had a heart attack yesterday in Dubai?
That is crazy. Okay, I hope they have good doctors in Dubai.
Let me tell you about that. This tells you how well taken care of he's being. Of course, he has trained some horses for Sheikh Mohammed, who is the ruler of Dubai. And so Bob has this heart attack. He goes to the hospital over there in Dubai, getting ready for this $10 million Dubai World Cup, where his horse Game On Dude is running. Well, they actually had to do 3 stents inserted into 2 arteries. He had a 100% blockage in one artery and a 90% blockage in the other. This guy was about gone. He was having trouble on the airplane on the way over. They said he was out of breath and everything. He got to the track. He went and actually visited the horses at the track. He went back to the hotel, still wasn't feeling well. And I guess over the night he had trouble, so they took him in an ambulance to the hospital. And they immediately did the surgery and put the stents in. Guess who his first visitor was the next day? Sheikh Mohammed came to visit him the next day. I think when the Sheikh comes to visit you, you're probably in a pretty nice room, and they're probably taking really good care of you.
Okay, couple comments about this. Number one, you know, I could just imagine the Sheikh walking down the hospital room. You know, there's rose petals being dropped in front of him. It's like he's in a hospital. That's pretty cool. Number two, what is wrong with men? What is wrong with men? First of all, you live a lifestyle where you're on a racetrack, it is high stress, and your chest starts to hurt, and you wait almost 2 freaking days to go in. Are you kidding me? You have a young son, okay, Bob Baffert? You get your butt into the hospital, and you go get that taken care of. It is just like a man. Glenn would be like, yeah, I don't know, my left arm is completely numb. Let's just continue on. We'll finish the show. I'd be like, get your butt into a hospital. What is wrong with men? Why can you not just understand you're having a heart attack? Not you, Glenn, but, you know, I'm just using you as an example.
I can't argue with any of that, actually. My dad was the same way. He would wait. My dad has had several heart attacks. And the first couple, he got better at going in quicker. But the first couple, you know, they sit around and they be stubborn for a while. And then, you know, then they go in and the doctor says, you should have came in 2 days ago. So, yeah. What happens? I can't argue with that. It's just the way we're bred that way.
I would be like, oh, my God, in the airplane, you need to land this thing. I'm being called home.
And they'd be going, Jamie, we're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. We can't land this thing.
Land this plane. I'll parachute somewhere. Yeah, well, that is just like a man. But that is really scary. And I'm glad that he is taken care of and is going to be okay. How is he going to be there this weekend? I mean, he's got a horse. Game on, dude, is running. There's no way he's there.
Well, they're saying he might be there, but probably not. They're saying there is a chance that he could be there, that he'd be out of the hospital. But
you're going to see Bob Baffert on the side of the track with sitting in a wheelchair, drooling because they've got him on so much, like, sedative that he doesn't get overly excited. Like, here, have another Valium.
But, you know, these heart operations, I don't want to underplay them, but boy, they can do so much so quickly with very little trauma to the body as compared to 20 years ago. It's amazing the things they can do with putting stents in and everything. It's just amazing. You know, I've had so many people I know that have had these heart surgeries, and it's just amazing the things they can do and how quickly you recover from it nowadays. You feel so much better. You go, what happens is that you get done and you have the surgery, and 2 weeks later you're going, I feel so good, because you didn't realize how crappy you were feeling because of the slow buildup.
Right. Now, with your dad, after he had a heart attack, was there like this big awakening of health? Like, okay, I have to go and I have to start jogging and I'm going to get in better health. I'm not,
No. My mom and dad both had multiple heart attacks and neither one of them changed much.
Really? I just can't even imagine that. I mean, like my dad had a heart attack when I was very young, probably like 15. And all of a sudden, the man is like running in races and never ran a marathon, but did a half marathon, started running, got super fit, started eating good, and he still eats very healthy now. And, you know, because my grandfather passed away when I was like a baby from heart problems. So I wonder if it's going to like create an awakening in Bob Baffert. I don't really know how healthy he is or not, but I would hope that something like this, I mean, I guess it didn't happen with your dad, but would really wake somebody up and go, hey, man, I better get my stuff together here.
You would think, but sometimes it does just say it's hard to change old habits. You know, it is. Especially, you know, when you're usually 60s when you're having your heart attacks. And I have known people that have changed a lot after their heart attack, like your dad, you just said there. And I've had some of my clients in my old life did change, but others of them didn't change a thing. You know, still having bacon and eggs every morning and the whole thing. So, well, let's get on to something cheerier, and that's Peter Atkins coming up. But first, let's talk about what boots you're using this weekend.
All right. Well, I'm going to Galway Downs and competing at Galway Downs Horse Trail this weekend out in California, and I'm so thankful to Holland Horse Tack because they have provided me my cross-country boots. You know, Jet, my horse, is very particular about boots. If you guys remember, I talked about how I can't even put shipping boots on him because he just hates having anything on his leg. It kind of panics him a little bit. I don't know what kind of experiences he's had before. Now, I finally started getting him in some standing bandages. He will not wear those big, tall shipping boots, you know, that you just Velcro on. Will not. Don't even come at him with one of those. However, you know, he's running cross country and he needs some boots to protect his legs. So jumping in without him for quite some time, I finally found Holland Horse Tack's Leg Protector Boots by Indra. These boots are a great choice because they are flexible and they're supportive and protective. You know, most cross country boots are very, very hard, and I certainly understand the reasons that they are, but he will not wear those big, unmovable, hard, solid boots. So these are supportive and protective, and they are high quality, breathable hypalon, and they protect the tendons like a wrap, and they kind of go, there's three straps that go around the front and then one that goes underneath the fetlock. And I wear these actually on his back legs. The Velcro is stretchy, as I love about all their products. The Velcro actually stretches, and there's some inside Velcro, too, so it holds itself in place while you're getting everything secure. So Indra Leg Protector Boots are available in four sizes to fit any horse's needs. Indra, a name well-known by European horses and riders for 25 years, is now available on this side of the ocean at HollandHorseTack.com. Check it out at HollandHorseTack.com. And we've got Peter Atkins, another cross-country rider, although he rides for real. not novice. Oh, God. So, Peter, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good.
Well, we're doing great. We haven't talked to you, I don't think, since you were sitting down next to us at Rolex. And let's just recap a little bit here, because you've had an absolutely crazy year and a half, I think, is pretty much what it's been. Just to recap for everybody, Peter is the rider of the Run Henny Run videos online, where he runs cross-country with a helmet cam. Became very famous after the World Equestrian Games. They're very, very popular. You can find DVDs of just all these awesome courses. Then had an ownership dispute with the horse. Peter had to go to court. He got Henny back. And then Henny had colic surgery. And now tell us what Henny is doing now.
Henny, right at the moment, is sitting in his stall munching on hay. But we are planning to head to badminton in England for early May. We're going over mid-April sometime. Is our plan, providing we can find the financing. That's where we're headed. And then I'm planning to stay there throughout the summer to give my best chance of running up for the Olympics in London.
Oh, my gosh. Peter, what an amazing comeback story. Take us back to when Henny had the colic surgery, and you were kind of in probably a pretty dark place after having fought to get Henny back in your barn and then to have the colic surgery. And I think, you know, everybody really rallied around you guys. Take us from there until you realized that Henny could make a great comeback.
Well, we were really lucky. The colic surgery was just an entrapment of his small colon, and so once they cut whatever was entrapping it, they still don't know. That was actually the scariest time when Dr. Andy Canops came out. He's a personal friend of mine, and said, Peter, something's entrapping the colon. We don't know what it is. We have to cut it, but we don't know what we're cutting because it was so far back. It was only like 4 inches from his rectum, so he couldn't even see back in there what he was cutting. He just had to go back and cut and hope it wasn't a major artery or a major nerve or something that would cause him a problem. But he cut it. He recovered 100% really quickly. And he's back up at running at 150% of what he was. He's been doing great.
150%. So the road to come back, you just went right into it. And what made you decide to head to England as opposed to run here at Rolex? I'm just asking for my own personal.
Well, badminton and Burley, they fight over who's the premier, the biggest 4-star course in the world. And he jumped around Rolex really easily in 2010 and jumped around basically Rolex again for WEG, which is a lot tougher course than the Rolex was, being the World Games. He jumped around Red Hills amazingly. They've been running the event at Red Hills, which is an amazing event, for 15 years, and no one has ever made time on cross country in the 3-star until Henry this last month. And I've yet to ask Henry to go into overdrive. We just cruise around in cruise control, and he generally gets very close or under time, and it's really cool. So the day I have to step him up and say, let's go, it's going to be a really quick time. But he cruises around and gets time pretty much every time, and so he's fun to ride.
I think that's an understatement. He looks just absolutely amazing and fun to ride. Just wouldn't even describe how it feels, and to watch him with the helmet cams, with his ears are so expressive, and he listens to you, and then he focuses, and then he's listening to you, and he's focusing, and he just seems to do it very joyfully. So tell us about what's going on runhennyrun.com right now.
We have a fundraiser trying to raise funds for badminton, and one of my supporter friends suggested, she said, when we're talking about fundraising, she said, I hate just donating money and not knowing where it's going and how much to donate and what a person needs. She says, I like to know a specific thing. So on my Run Henny Run shop, which is shoprunhennyrun.com, you can actually go on there, and we've listed everything from carrots and apples at $10 each, bags, or weeks of feed, weeks of boarding for him, everything we could think of, specific things that he will need while we're in the United Kingdom that people can individually purchase. And then they can say, I bought Henry 10 bags of carrots or whatever they wish to purchase. And everyone that's seen it thinks it's a great idea. So we just need to get the word out about that and see how many of Henny's friends want to support him and help him get to the UK and run around badminton and hopefully run around the Olympics.
Now, this is going to sound like a really stupid question, and I'm sorry that I don't know this, but if you were to run in the Olympics, what country would you run for? Because you live here in the United States.
Yes, I'm Australian, so I'll be running for Australia, which makes it even tougher because there's a lot of top. The hardest team to get into is probably the Australian team.
I was just going to say, you have some competition this year for Australia.
Yeah. It's always been pretty hard to get into the Australian team, but it's a tough year as well. But the one thing they know, Henry's going to finish at or very close to his dressage score from his record. So that's a huge thing in my favor, and our dressage scores have been increasing very, very quickly, or decreasing very, very quickly.
Now, I find it amazing. I'm on here looking, and first of all, your son is just the cutest thing ever. So you can donate You can buy apples and carrots for Henry, and your son is, it's a photo of your son sitting there feeding him carrots and apples, and then you can buy grain for Henny, and then it's got Henny's face in a bag of grain, like, going crazy, and then pictures of your son with Henny laying down. It's just a great idea, a wonderful idea, and I would love to, you know, what's amazing to me is that I just spent, like, I'm running novice, and I think my entry fee was $200 and something for novice at Galway, and badminton, you would think to enter badminton's four-star would be $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $537 for the entry fee. That's not too terribly bad.
No, the entry fees for the larger events are generally a lot less than the smaller events. The CICs here in America are quite expensive, but like Rolex is only $100. It's a minimum they charge because they're not trying to make money off the entry fee. They're trying to put on a prestigious event, and the same with badminton. The entry fees aren't paying very much of their costs, luckily,
right.
Whereas the individual events, say Red Hills or the Fork, the entry fees are a major part of them running the actual event. So if an event wants to survive, especially here in America where there's a lot more officials per rider than probably any other country that the event has to pay for, then the events are more expensive than, say, the larger events are putting it on just for the riders and the prestige like Rolex and badminton.
Not the entry fee you worry about. It's that $10,000 plane flight to get the horse over there.
Yeah, that's going to be the toughest one, especially in this economy, but we'll figure out a way.
Good.
Wow.
Well, good, Peter. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Now, you guys also, you can go to shop.runhennyrun.com. If you've enjoyed one of Peter's videos, you know, just go on and make a donation. Buy some carrots. Buy some shoes for Henny. Buy a baseball cap even or a T-shirt. And all of that money goes to help Peter get overseas to run badminton and then hopefully Burley. We really wish you the best of luck. Is there anything that you want to say to your fans, like a final come on, help me out.
Come on, help me out. I just want to thank some of the coolest emails I get are from people who can no longer ride because of some sort of medical condition and emailing me what I've done for them by putting the cross-country helmet cams on the web. And it's really cool when I get, I got one from I think she's a 78, 80 year old lady who can no longer ride. And she said she's in tears every time she's watching it because it's bringing back all her memories from her riding when she could ride. And that's really cool. It makes it all worthwhile for me putting them up. But now Henny wants to go and do the biggest event in the world. And so we're trying to get the badminton. And please, if all my supporters even just bought some carrots for him, we'd be there and done for the summer. And $10 isn't that much these days. Even in this economy, $10 isn't that much. So
yeah.
Please help Henny out, and we'll see if we all get there together.
Now, how long has this been up, and how are you doing so far?
We're doing okay. Seema Sonad has been a good supporter of me, actually bought his entry fee for us yesterday. So that means I have to go. We just got to find the rest of the money.
That's great.
It hasn't been huge, but we've had stuff trickling in. We just got to get the word out more about it and get it to all these fans and get them energized. It's only been there for a week. Went up last Saturday, I think. We finally got it live. Every bit's going to help.
Absolutely, absolutely. And everybody, please just go check it out, shop.runhennyrun.com. Peter, thank you so much for being on the show. We wish you the best. And when you're at badminton, because you do have your entry already, we are going to be cheering for you, my friend.
Excellent. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks.
All right, thanks.
Okay, bye.
I'm bummed you're not going to be a Rolex, though. Because I love watching you go. Take care.
All right. Well, that's great. Jennifer will post a link to that on our Facebook page, on the new improved Facebook page. She'll post a link. If you can find it on the new improved Facebook page, you can click on it and help support. Had to get that shot in. Well, you requested a song yesterday, and the song that you requested is brought to you by FeedXL. FeedXL is that place where you go to find out if you're feeding your horse correctly. FeedXL.com. Take a couple minutes, put in the information about your horse and what you're feeding your horse, and it'll spit out some very elaborate detailed reports and charts, and it'll tell you every vitamin and mineral and where you have to improve and where you have to cut back. It'll help you. Actually, with many, many people, it helps save them money because they find out they've been feeding too much. We in America here tend to overfeed our horses. As a general rule, we tend to overfeed rather than underfeed. And we
overfeed ourselves, too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true when you think about it. And cats. Have you seen some people's cats? We were talking about cats earlier. Well, you can make sure you're not overfeeding your horse or underfeeding him by going to feedxl.com. As soon as we get to Florida and figure out what our hay is going to be and everything, we're going to be plugging Beaker into FeedXL again to get an update, and because his feed is going to have to change when we get to Florida because he's not going to have as much green, lush grass as he did here in Lexington, which, by the way, don't feel bad for him. That's a good thing. That means he won't have to wear his muzzle 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Woo-hoo!
And he'll be very happy about that. FeedXL.com. And you requested a little Team Fredericks, didn't you?
I did. You know, this weekend, I've got to call away. That's okay. No. You can play it because I can talk through it. It's this is Clayton Fredericks with Team Fredericks singing Will to Win. Come on, baby. Play.
When you know that you've got what it takes, what a difference the feeling makes. And whenever
okay, did anybody else halfway through that song realize that, you know, Peter Adkins, who is just on trying to make the team, Australian team, and Clayton Fredericks is almost a guarantee for the Australian team?
I know.
Like,
I thought about that after we played it.
I'm like, he's either going to really appreciate this or hate us. I bet Peter's a good singer, too.
I thought about that, too. I was going, oh, this is good timing. But Peter has the will to win too, though. So.
Oh, he definitely does. But oh, let's just say, Peter, we dedicated Clayton's song to you.
Sure, Clayton, appreciate that. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen. We are today from Lexington, Kentucky, and we're going to talk a little bit later in the show about some of the special shows we have planned for you over the next couple of days. This will be our last live day till a week from Wednesday, because we're going to be moving down to Ocala. The next time you hear us live, I'll be saying at the beginning of the show, this is Glenn the Geek live from Wagon Wheel Way in Ocala, Florida. What a cool name for a street to live on when you're a horse person, huh?
That is pretty good, Wagon Wheel Way. However, saying that every day, you're going to wear me out. So you've got like you've got three. You can say it three times, so pick and choose.
This week's or today's Horse Radio Network show highlight is the driving radio show came out this morning. And what a lucky listener. She's actually a listener of ours. Her name is Kim Logue. She listened to, way back to when we started the Stable Scoop show. She's out of Canada, and she won through a contest a weekend with Chester Weber down at Live Oak, just what we just talked about, down at Chester Weber's place down there at Live Oak in Ocala. And she had never driven a horse before, Jamie, and she gets to go spend a weekend with Chester. Her first driving lesson was with a pair of Chester's horses with Chester teaching her.
That doesn't suck.
It doesn't happen very often either. Chester doesn't usually do beginners. So, yeah, she had a rare experience. She actually, they were practicing for Live Oak, so Chester had his horses out in cross country out on the marathon course, and they were doing some of the obstacles and stuff. And so she got to ride along for that. She said it was the most unbelievable experience, and she tells us all
wow.
about it in this driving radio show. So it was really cool what she got to do. And then Dr. Wendy Ying talks about harness fit for the pair harness in your driving pairs. So that's what's coming up on the Driving Radio Show at drivingradioshow.com. We're going to be with
Speaking of Wendy, Chad's horse got acupuncture yesterday.
And?
Let me just tell you, that did not go well.
Acupuncture is supposed to relieve stress. Are you telling me this didn't relieve any stress?
Let me just point out that this relieved no stress. We actually had to sedate him, which I don't know if it even works anymore. I just said, he's got to have it. Let's sedate him and see if it helps at all. So, the needle-shy horse, I came at him with his vaccines, and he was, like, freaked out. Well, you know, he's got some problems cantering on the right lead, and his tail is a little offset. Again, Chad's leaving. I never would have bought this horse, okay? Let me just make that clear right now. He fell in love with him, and he wanted him, and he's a really good trail horse. I said, okay, you can have him. All right. So the horse had apparently some it displayed a lot of pain in the pelvic area, and the vet thinks that at some point he had a pelvic fracture. So a healed pelvic fracture, but the acupuncture, which is probably the only thing that's going to be good for him, that's going to help an old pelvic fracture, he hated. Like, he was not okay with it. Like, he actually took the veterinary technician and they left with the vet tech actually skiing at the end of the lead rope. So, yeah. No, it didn't go well, but, we tried it once, and then hopefully he's going to feel better, and maybe next time we can do it without him sedated. Doubtful.
No.
I even tried food. I was giving him food. I'm like, just still with his big needles in your pelvis. Yeah, not so much.
Well, we're waiting for Victoria Spicer. She'll be here in a minute with the European report from Horse and Country TV. Speaking of not feeling well, did you see about Saratoga Springs?
No. What?
A strangles outbreak forced the closure of Saratoga Raceway in New York until April the 11th. So they had equine distemper was confirmed in several horses in the track on March 22nd. The track immediately began monitoring horses, and apparently there were other cases that have popped up. So now they're going to be they're canceling live racing until April the 11th.
Oh, no.
How costly you think that is? So.
You know, New York's having a really hard time in their racing world right now between, the aqueduct safety issues and now this. Yeah. That's pretty tough.
Yeah, it is tough, but they'll be back. You know, these things have strangles. Is always one of those things you worry about. You know, with racehorses, it's just one of those things you constantly have to be aware of.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
One other story, quick. I got to tell you that we haven't done a rescue story in a while, because usually we only do rescue stories now when they involve something that we haven't covered before, something that's a little bit different. Well, this one's different. This is the headline caught my attention. Firefighters pull 34-year-old horse out of Northeast Portland septic tank. Yes, we've had a septic tank rescue. We've never had one of those before. Apparently the septic tank gave way. You know how backyard kind of septic tank gave way, and the horse fell in the septic tank, which must be a lovely thing. 34 years old, the firefighters came and they rescued this horse. They put all kinds of straps around him and they dug out around her and created more room. And then the special rescue team had the pulley system and they pulled her up. And apparently she has a little scrape, but otherwise she's just fine. 34, a little stinkier, probably needed a bath after being in the septic tank for a while. But, yep, we never had a septic tank rescue story, so there's our first. Portland, Oregon. It isn't even out of England. It's out of the United States. That's another amazing thing.
That is usually an English thing. And speaking of that, do we have Victoria on right now?
Yes.
Victoria, first of all, let me just say good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you both?
Well, we are doing fantastic. I just have to ask you, why exactly did most of our rescue stories where some horse fell in a pool or there was some crazy hole or it got washed away in some flash flood, why did all that happen over in England?
Well, everybody says that the British are eccentric, and obviously our horses are as well. And so they like nothing better than to throw themselves off cliffs and into swimming pools and all the rest. Into ditches is quite a big one. Horses see a ditch and they think, I want to be in that ditch, and then the fire brigade have to come and pull them out.
It's like, if only I could get in that ditch and lay down and put my feet up in the air. That would be awesome. Seems to be how it works out. Well, Glenn,
I love that she didn't even, Jamie, I love that she didn't even argue with you.
Well, how can she? There's no argument. Go ahead, Glenn.
Oh, yes. So, Victoria, you're here, horseandcountry.tv, obviously every week. By the way, you have next week off. I want to make sure you knew that.
I do indeed. I'm having a week to prepare for the following week, perhaps.
That's right. You get a little break here.
She's celebrating.
The other thing they're celebrating over at horseandcountry.tv is a fantastic new website.
Oh, we love our new website. We're so excited by it. And we've had weeks of hard work on getting it looking as smart as it does now, and our web team, Mike and Ben, have just done a superb job on getting it all up and running in time for the deadline. I hope everybody can go and check it out and let us know what they think about it, because I think it's beautiful. I might be a little bit biased, but I still think it's really smart.
That's great.
It's very nice. I was scanning around it this morning, and it's cleaner. I think the other one was a little busy.
Definitely. We've pared it down, got just the essential parts that we need to have, and I think the design's really usable and easy to navigate. And this is the new look, but over the coming weeks, we're going to be introducing new features and lots more videos and things. So watch this space to find out what lies ahead. And not to mention, we've got badminton coming up, and we'll be there all week reporting and doing a comprehensive job on the website. So I hope everybody listening will be tuning in to keep track of badminton if they can't make it to the event themselves.
Now, badminton was changed as far as time this year because of conflict with Rolex. How did that work? Did I read something about that a while back?
Oh, I'm not sure, to be honest. But
is it still the week after Rolex? Is it the first week of May?
It is the first week of May, yes.
Yeah, it's usually the same time as we do the Kentucky Derby.
That would be bad.
Okay, cool. And now you had an announcement, too, about British Eventing's president is going to be have a little excitement over the summer here.
Yeah, absolutely. Jane Holden is Rodham, who has, you know, she's been a huge figure in eventing for decades and is now no longer competing, but is president of our affiliated body, British Eventing. And she's been chosen to be an Olympic torchbearer. So, I think she's really proud. And it's nice to see her having been a competitor at the Olympic Games in Mexico back in the 60s. She's now going to be part of London's Olympics in 2012.
And I assume you're going to be as well. I'm sure they asked you.
I'm not going to be carrying a torch. Yeah. No tickets, no torch. I've been overlooked by the Olympics. And I'm running out of time to get selected. So apart from my rubbish competition results and my novice horse, I think I'm doomed.
Well, maybe next time it comes to London.
Exactly, yes. When I'll probably be about 80.
110, yeah.
I can still do dressage. It'll be fine.
Now, you also had a story on here about a British bred horse that's taking on the world. What's that about?
Absolutely. This is a mare called Woodlander Farouche, who has just been everywhere in the last couple of months. And she is ridden by a British dressage rider called Michael Aylbrook, whose father, Ferdy, was a very successful team member as well. And this mare just goes everywhere and is doing brilliantly well. And she's just won, had a big win at the World Breeding Championships at the end of last year. And what is special about her is, you know, she looks like a smart horse, but until you see her move, you just don't realize how special she is. And apparently she just went across to Germany to compete, and she came into the ring and nobody was really paying attention, and then she started trotting and everybody just fell silent and suddenly sat up and took notice. So yeah, she's definitely one to look out for, and I think she could be a potential superstar of the future.
She's a Hanoverian?
Oh, I'm not sure. She's bred over here by a lady called Lynn Criden, who breeds a lot of successful horses. So I presume she is a warm blood, but I have to say I'm not entirely sure.
Okay. All right, cool.
Yes, she is a Hanoverian. Sorry, I've just checked back.
I just looked at her picture and I took a guess that she was probably a Hanoverian or some warm blood there. Yeah.
See, that's better than me. I can tell thoroughbreds are warm bloods, but that's about it.
And now your blog of the week.
Yes, we've got a lovely video diary at the moment by a young girl called Joanna Bassett, who's going to be keeping a video diary up until she competes in the World Championships in pony driving. And so she's just done this first blog introducing herself and her pony, who's a very sweet Palomino and very cheeky. And Jo is really nice and talks eloquently about her sport. And so, yeah, do check it out.
I got to tell you, the pony is a little Palomino pony with like the white mane and the forelock and everything. And this Palomino pony has the most innocent look on his face in this video. It just has the cutest lips and the most innocent look. And you know that as soon as that camera's off, it's just going to be like my cat. It's going to be biting her ponytail off the back of her head. You just know it.
He does look a bit butter wouldn't melt, but yeah, I think he's probably got a cheeky side, and hopefully we'll get to know him a little bit more over the coming months.
Well, I think that's great, and she looks like a cutie too.
Yeah, she's sweet. Yeah. So one to watch out for as well.
And as far as what's coming up on TV,
well, we debuted a new episode of our series Top Marks last night, which is called Top Marks Be Brave. And it basically follows Kelly Marks, who is Monty Roberts' protege, as she tries to transform a nervous horse into a horse that's afraid of absolutely nothing. And by the end of the program, she's able to put polythene sheets on the horse and walk over all sorts of obstacles, and he's become bomb-proof. And so that's had a brilliant reaction from our viewers.
And that will be... Is that the paint horse in this video?
Yes, the colored horse, yes.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so you guys, this is a horse that was scared of everything. She just took, and this has been my dream for a long time, is to take a trampoline, put it behind your horse, run up, jump on the trampoline, put your hands on the horse's butt, and end up in the saddle like the old cowboys did, and she totally did it in this video. And then had the horse was standing there. They put a tarp on it. They did all sorts of standing on it, waving a flag. That's fantastic. And I want a catapult up to under my horse's rear end. I probably need a trampoline bigger than that one, though.
I think you should just give it a try next time you go to the barn and take a trampoline and see
what
how you get on.
Yeah. Let's just see how he does.
As long as you wear a body protector and a hat, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah, I got to tell you, too, I saw, Janet, Jamie's going to like this, that you had another article on the first female jockey championships to be held in England.
Yeah, it's actually surprising it's taken this long to happen, because we've got loads of really good female jockeys over here. And I know you've got a really good one over there called, is it Chantal?
Sutherland.
Yeah, and she's brilliant. I follow her on Twitter. So, but our superstar is a girl called Hayley Turner, and she's really popular. She gets called Head Turner over here because she's by certain broadcasters, because she's blonde and pretty. But she's a super rider, and she won her first Group 1. And I keep hearing more and more about female jockeys winning at Group 1 level, and I think it's great to see them being recognised as a sort of growing factor in the sport.
It's actually amazing that you're right, that it's taken this long to do that, whether it's in England or here. You know, I think that's terrific that they're going to have their own championships. That's
really,
and there's some big money involved, so let's hope that helps them stay in the sport too.
Absolutely.
Well, that's terrific. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you again in a couple of weeks. And of course, where can they watch Horse and Country TV here in the United States?
You can watch some of our programs on HRTV, and don't forget, if you head to our website, horseandcountry.tv, you can watch lots of our previous programs for free online.
Sounds terrific. Well, thank you very much, Victoria. You have a great couple of weeks.
My pleasure. I'll speak to you soon.
Bye, Victoria.
All right, there she goes. Well, coming up here, let's just talk a little bit about some of the things we have planned while we're off over the next couple of days. We have some great shows planned for you. Tomorrow is the Great Showdown.
Oh,
that's
boy.
What it's called. The Great Showdown, Alan versus Tammy. Now, for those that haven't listened to the show very long. Yeah.
Excuse me. You said Alan versus Tammy.
Oh, Jamie. I actually had Jamie written here, too. Alan versus Jamie. Sorry. So there's been this rivalry between the Western Radio Show and the Horses in the Morning, mostly between Alan and Jamie, since probably we started the show. Alan has come on the show on various times and called in, and he just had this thing about picking on Jamie. Well, Jamie started picking back, and now there's this little feud going on. So I thought, let's get them together while we're gone and record a show where we settle the feud and see who is actually better. So we had a great showdown. We had a great quiz contest, which Jamie, of course, thinks that, you know, I was chiming up with Alan and I was cheating and all of that, which she's full of crap, because I took a totally unbiased role as moderator and judge.
Oh, my God. Seriously?
I played three roles, actually.
No, by no means are we saying that I lost, and, you know, we're not saying that I won. We're saying
that
Glenn cheated. Glenn cheated. He was so with the guys. I want you girls to go on and listen to the show. You guys can go on and listen to it, too, because it is so blatantly obvious about this quiz show, who got the stupid easy questions and who got the ridiculously hard questions. I mean, it was ridiculous. So I want you guys to go on and listen, and then we'll team up at the end of it. Maybe we'll have to, like, do some sort of thing where Glenn has to take on a listener, and I will make the question.
There you go. Aubrey. I'll take on Aubrey. I throw down.
Okay. We'll see how that goes.
All right. I take Aubrey on because, you know, Aubrey's smarter than me, and I probably don't even have a chance. But I'll do it. I'll step up.
You have random knowledge. You're like the Cliff Clavin of Horses in the Morning, okay?
Kind of a...
Every once in a while, you pull something out. I'm like, what? How did you know that? So
I've been doing these shows for 3 years. I learn a lot doing these shows. I've done almost like 1,000 shows. I must learn something doing this.
All right. Well, you're going to take on a listener.
The problem is,
Aubrey,
I only retain the stupid stuff, Jamie. That's the problem. I retain the stupid stuff. That's so random. Anyway, the other things coming up over the next couple of days you're going to enjoy is Friday is the 4th annual Horse Husbands episode. You don't want to miss that. We had a little fun this year. So you want to tune into that. I would say it was probably the best Horse Husbands episode we've done, and that'll be this Friday. And then we had a little mess up with the show we tried to get out before when we were on break with Jamie did the Hope series with Susan Cain, and it just something happened. The show didn't go out, and I guarantee you most of our listeners never heard it. So tell us a little bit about that again.
Susan Cain is just an absolutely fascinating woman. She has been involved in just about every aspect of the horse world. And Susan hosts a television show on HRTV called Unbridled. And she's also doing a segment within that show called Thorough Talent, where she showcases an off-the-track thoroughbred in their new career. She's just this amazing woman who has, like, met the queen. She has been all over the world, she involved with horses, so kind of just went through her life and picked her brain a little bit. As far as women in the horse world that are successful, she embodies that. So that's why we wanted to do a whole show with her, and it ended up, it's just fantastic. So the fact that it didn't air probably had something to do with Alan, I'm pretty sure.
Actually, no, it probably had more to do with me. And Alan, I have to take
both of
for
you
that
teamed
one
up. I'm over both of you guys. So so definitely check that out if you haven't heard it yet. It was really fun to do.
That'll be next Monday, and then next Tuesday we have the Music of Chancey Neal, another special musical episode. Actually, Alan did do that one. Chancey is we've been playing some of her music. She's a beautiful singer at the age of 18, and she is a barrel racer, so Alan knew her from the past, and all of his announcing, he had announced her a couple times and got her on, and those two did a great show together, The Music of Chancey Neal. You're going to want to hear her story and some of the stories she tells about being in Nashville. She has some fun stuff. So we have a lot of great shows planned for you. The easiest way to keep track of what's coming up that day is to follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Twitter, we're at Horse Radio, or at Facebook, just search for Horses in the Morning, and that's how you can keep track. Jennifer and I will try and post some updates, maybe some pictures of the moving van and, you know, us driving down through Georgia. You know, maybe we'll take a picture. What exit where did you live off of? Maybe we'll try and get a picture of the sign as we drive by.
Well, if you're coming from Lexington, you'll be going down I-75, and I lived up 85, which is just to the east of that. So pretty much you're just on the wrong side of town.
Sorry about that.
But just be, you know, take a picture of Turner Field for me, the stadium as you drive by, my home of the Braves.
Okay. I think you'll see that right from the highway, too, if I remember right.
You certainly can. Yeah, it's right over on the left when you're going down I-75 and I-85 junction together, and they go down, and as soon as it splits up, boom, there you go. Right.
Did you know, I don't know that we told you this, but on our way back from Ocala when we went down to check out our place, we actually stopped in Atlanta, in the city. Jennifer and I drove in the city. Do you believe that? We did?
No.
We went to IKEA.
IKEA, gotcha. Yeah, how'd that work out for you? Because downtown Atlanta is a beautiful place. I mean, full of very fun, classy people with, you know, the hardworking, wrong part of town.
Well, let me just say that even the GPS, even Magellan couldn't figure out where we were in that city. It took us.
That's
like,
because the GPS was scared for its life. It's like, get out of here! Run! Drive fast! Lock the doors! Go!
And I don't know why we as Americans are so fascinated with IKEA, because basically they make crappy furniture. They make crappy furniture that you buy when you're a college kid and you put in your – it's not the top quality furniture. And you know, I know some of us, and we're in with that. We bought IKEA furniture. But, you know, we all know it's not top quality, yet there's this strange, like, mystical draw, like there's this pull. Like on Star Trek, when they used to pull the ships into the big ship with their tractor beam. That's what IKEA has. It has a tractor beam, and it pulls Americans in, and we go in there in thousands, and we walk through, because you have to go through the entire damn place to get to see, find anything. So you walk through the entire damn place. It takes you hours, but we do it because we do it over and over again. I don't know what it is. I think it's some mystical thing.
It does have a tractor beam, and you're right. And what happened to me in my mid-20s was I needed to get new furniture. So I went to IKEA, and we were redoing a bathroom. So I bought the sink, and I bought the kind of all the accoutrements that go in the bathroom. And then I bought a dresser and two end tables for my bedroom, and then like a stand-up dresser where you could have the mirror on one of them, and then the other one was a tall one. And then I get all these boxes home.
And have to put them together.
What a god-awful crap. You have to put them together, and the instructions are not even in English. It is BS.
They don't even have words on the instructions anymore. It's just pictures.
Yeah, it's complete crap. Do you know how long it took me to get my furniture put together? Well, I did one piece, and I was like, screw it. I ended up having to hire an engineer from the radio station I worked at to come over and put my IKEA furniture together, and I had to pay him. So it is not cheap when you have to pay somebody to put it together. It is, yeah, BS.
Jennifer just wrote, well, write them off as advertisers. I don't think IKEA was knocking on our door anyway. So I think we're safe.
Yeah, I think we're good.
All right, we got to go move. So, everybody, you have a great rest of the week. Be sure to tune in. We have shows every day, just as normal, but some special ones we did for you. We worked hard on these, so take a listen. We'll see everybody next week. We'll try and post some updates as we get down to Florida and keep you all informed of what's going on. Jamie, terrific luck this weekend at Galway in California. And where you're going, I know there won't be any snow at all.
I hope not. You never know, though. You never know. Good luck to Royal Delta and all the American horses that are running in Dubai, pretty much all the horses that are running in Dubai. And I certainly hope Bob Baffert takes a chill pill when he watches Game On Dude coming second to Royal Delta at the Dubai World Cup. See you later, everybody. Spay, neuter, and geld. Have a great week. This is weird.
See you in Ocala, Jamie. See you in Ocala.
Aww.
Or it'll be 120 degrees and sweaty.
Yeah. Start drinking. You'll get there. Woo.